This is the Mormon Mixed Faith Marriage Podcast with Certified Life Coach Brooke Booth, episode number 136. All right, got a good podcast today. We're going to talk about deflecting, dismissing, and gaslighting. But before we get into that, a little bit of housekeeping. I'm going to make some changes to the podcast, not significant changes, but I wanted you to be aware. I'm going to keep producing it. I'm going to keep creating a lot of content to help you in your mixed faith marriage, giving you some insights into relationships, into mixed faith marriages in particular. I'm just not going to be producing them on a weekly basis. Every Sunday at 7 a.m. Eastern time, a podcast has been published. I'm going to change that to twice a month. So I'll still be producing, but I'll be producing less. Maybe it'll even be one time a month here and there. I'm going to try to do twice a month. So I will still be creating this podcast because I really enjoy it. I really like creating the podcast. And I think because we need to talk more about mixed faith marriages. We need to have more tools, more strategies, more ideas, more conversations around them. Okay. Back to our topic at hand, deflecting, dismissing, and gaslighting. I wanted to talk about these three things for lots of reasons. One is it comes up a lot with clients. And so I suspect whoever is listening to this might find it beneficial. Two is I think these are actually things that we don't really understand. Like we sometimes use this in the vernacular in a colloquial way, but a lot of times we don't have a great understanding of what this means and what it actually looks like. And I think a lot of times we show up with this type of behavior in our marriages unintentionally hurting each other or unintentionally like having some not great behavior just because we're not educated. We don't understand the impact always of what we say or what we do, or we don't understand the impact of this type of behavior long-term. So I want to talk about these three things, get a good idea of what they look like, obviously see how they might be showing up in a mixed faith marriage. And then I'll give you some ideas on, you know, what you can do if you're doing these things, what you can do if your spouse is doing these things, and give you a little bit of direction in that regard. And the other reason I wanted to talk about these three things is they hurt. Like they don't help much. So the more we're aware of them, I think the more robust and stable relationships we can build. Okay, let's start with dismissive behavior. This involves brushing something off, somebody off, their ideas, their feelings, their experience, diminishing what they may be feeling or experiencing, diminishing their experience, ignoring it, ignoring them, being indifferent to them, indifferent to their experience. There's a spectrum here, as with most things. It can be something that's downright rude or inconsiderate or disrespectful, all the way to more subtle forms of being dismissive. We'll give some examples, but I want you to consider that the subtle dismissive behaviors aren't better than the outright dismissive behaviors. They have a similar impact. So here are examples: showing no interest in what they're saying, interrupting when they're speaking, habitually ignoring calls or texts. You know, this is actually one I've seen quite a bit with working with some clients. Does your spouse ghost you? That's a form of dismissing behavior. Brushing off suggestions without considering them. That's certainly one I've seen. Not answering your questions. Here's one to really pay attention to: giving short monosyllabic answers when prompted, you know, fine, good, I don't know. Those are a form of dismissing, excluding a person from a conversation, asking everybody's preference or opinion except theirs, pretending their concerns are not valid, treating their contributions as insignificant or lesser, and devaluing their wants and needs. So that may sound like, you know, in an actual conversation, whatever, that doesn't really matter. I don't have time for this. I've heard that all before. That's not important. Let's move on. That's a silly idea. That's not worth discussing. You're overreacting. Why are you making such a big deal out of this? That's what it might sound like when you're dismissing. I want to give you some mixed faith marriage examples. It may be, now I want to be careful here, because sometimes in a mixed faith marriage, you don't want to talk about religion because you need to do some more emotional processing, or because you're not yet clear on your own point. Like, you still need to understand your own position. And I think it's really important to say, like, I'm not ready to talk about that yet because I'm still really processing this, or I'm still really raw about that. That's good, clear communication. It can tip over into dismissing when we're like, we're just like, I don't want to talk about that. Without giving a little bit more context, I'm not yet ready to talk about that is very different than I'm not going to talk about that. One has a little bit more information. I'm still processing that. Can we pause and wait to talk about that is very different than we can't ever talk about that. One is more dismissive. One is more, that's important. What you're feeling is important. I'm just not quite ready yet to have that conversation. So watch that. Another form of dismissive behavior is being indifferent to their experiences at church or their experiences at whatever their faith journey is taking them on. Maybe a new religion, maybe a new form of spirituality, maybe an atheism, maybe even a new form of self-care. Like, are you indifferent to when they come home from church and they want to engage in conversation? Or are you indifferent to what they did while you were at church? Dismissive behavior can easily sneak in. And it can feel self-protective because it can be really, there can be so much pain here. I'm just inviting you to just take a look, you know, and ask yourself, is there elements of dismissiveness here that I'm just not, like, a lot of times it's unintentional. And this is an invitation to look at how you're showing up, how your spouse is showing up, and getting curious and looking at it in a really honest, fair way. Okay, let's talk about deflection. This one's a little bit different. So deflection is when somebody challenges, dismisses your actions, feelings, or behavior while redirecting attention from their own problematic behavior. I'll give you some examples on this, but here's another way of saying it. Deflection in a relationship occurs when a partner deliberately avoids taking responsibility for their feelings, for their thoughts, for their actions, and they sort of flip it around. They turn the tide by blaming their partner or somebody else or an institution or their childhood or whatever, their parents, anything else for what they did or what they said. This really often looks like, let's say you bring up a point that needs to be discussed in the marriage. Hey, this is something that's bothering me. This is something I've seen. This is something I want to talk about. Deflection can look like this. If you end up apologizing or reassuring them, I'll walk you through that. You know, when we had talked yesterday, you know, I felt really hurt. You know, after we wrapped up the conversation, I was telling myself that you didn't care. I was telling myself that, you know, my experience didn't matter. And then your partner may then deflect with something like, well, last week, I felt really hurt and I felt like you were dismissing me, or I felt like you didn't care about me and that hurt me. That's a form of deflection. Because what often happens is now you end up apologizing and reassuring and you know, working from like centering their hurt, centering their experience and addressing that and apologizing for that and repairing for that. But notice what's not happened here is the original issue, your hurt, your issue that you wanted to address, unaddressed, not taken care of, not talked about or discussed in a meaningful way. That's a classic example of deflection. And I want to comment on that because it's a lot of emotional labor. It's a lot of like emotional capital to initiate a conversation and to say like, hey, I want to talk about something hard that happened recently that, you know, I didn't like and I want to discuss with you. That's hard. That's risky. That's vulnerable. And so I don't want that investment to not be like, I want you to get a return on your investment. I don't want that investment to be lost. And now all of the attention and the conversation is spent on reassuring your spouse and your needs aren't being addressed or discussed or looked at. I also want to say another point here. This doesn't invalidate what they're saying. That might be really important. Like they might actually have a legitimate point and that should be discussed and brought up, but it can wait for another conversation. And we'll talk more about that later. But basically deflection is when somebody evades accountability by shifting blame or avoiding the main issue or the original issue, the primary issue. It's kind of like, you know, a skillful, like you're dodging it. And the reason I want to bring up deflection here is, and you've probably pieced this together already from how I'm talking about it, but I think it really disadvantages honest communication, honest problem solving, and addressing issues that need to be addressed. Because you notice the person who brought up the conversation, their issue never got addressed. A separate issue got addressed, but their issue didn't get addressed. And so if somebody is constantly bringing up issues and those are getting deflected, those issues aren't being looked at. We're having a lack of honest communication and problem solving in the relationship. It's a one-sided problem solving. Okay, that's deflection. Let me give you an example of how that might look in a mixed faith marriage. And I'll use the example I used before. We'll just flesh it out a little bit more. You know, I felt hurt when you said that we would still be paying 10% on tithing, even though I expressed that that made me very uncomfortable. You know, I felt hurt when you wouldn't consider my point of view and that it became like a unilateral decision. The deflection, and I'm not saying that the deflection happens whether you're post-Mormon or believing. Like this example is in no way to incriminate a particular party, just an example. So that might be you offering the bid, offering the like, hey, this is something that's hurting me. This is something we want to talk about. And it's deflected. They might say, oh, well, I didn't want to pay money to, you know, insert something like your sister's la la la, or the charity la la la, or I didn't want to donate money to this, or I didn't want to spend money on this vacation, or I didn't want to spend money on this piece of furniture, but you wanted that. And so I did it. Again, now we're deflecting from the actual issue of not being heard and not being seen when talking about tithing the other day. And now we're talking about an issue that's somewhat unrelated. There might be some like similar threads, but now we're talking about sisters giving money to a family member or another charity or buying a family purchase like furniture. It's a deflection of the real issue, right? We're shifting blame, we're avoiding the main issue, we're deflecting. Again, that might be an important thing to talk about, but it's not what was originally brought up. We have lost track of the original thing. We turned around. We're lost in the weeds. This is what happens with deflection. And then again, that original thing is not actually communicated about, not addressed, no problem solving happening there. Okay, let's talk about gaslighting. This one I want to talk about because I think this is one that's easily misunderstood. Gaslighting is particularly interesting because on the spectrum of gaslighting, it's a pretty big spectrum, all the way from, you know, like what you see in the movies where somebody literally thinks they're crazy because they're gaslit so bad, to much more subtle gaslighting that I think is probably more common in our relationships. How I define gaslighting is when one partner presents their own thoughts and feelings as true, and that their partner's thoughts and feelings aren't true or aren't as true. Like there's almost like a hierarchy. My thoughts and feelings, my interpretation, my perception, my experience is more true than yours. Now, this isn't often said explicitly, but that's often the message received as gaslighting takes place. The other's thoughts and feelings are less true. It can be anything from you're remembering things wrong, you're misinterpreting what happened, you misconstrued my words. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant. There's a lot of confusion embedded with gaslighting. You might be like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was unkind. Maybe I was too strong. Maybe I wasn't clear enough in my communication. That type of self-dialogue might indicate gaslighting is taking place. If you are being accused of being too emotional or too sensitive, calm down, you're overreacting. Why are you so sensitive? Might be an indication that gaslighting is taking place. Basically, any statement that minimizes how you're feeling and what you're thinking and communicates in some way that you're wrong to think that or feel that is a form of gaslighting. So I want you to think about that. And again, this is a two-way street. You might be doing this. They might be doing it. You might both be doing it. You might be sometimes doing it. You might be doing it a lot. I want you to just use these ideas, not to start throwing labels at your spouse or accusing them. I want you to think about these ideas and concepts in a very curious, open way, in a way of like, how might I be doing this? How might I be experiencing this? What do I want to do about that information? And so let me give you some ideas on how to deal with behavior like this. If it's your own, if you're the person who is dismissing or deflecting or gaslighting, take responsibility. Get really curious. Why are you doing that? What's driving that type of behavior? What are the feelings driving that? What are the thoughts driving that action? Can you get help? Can you pivot those? Can you change those? Can you create neural pathways so that you're not habitually or regularly falling into this kind of behavior? This would be a great example of where getting some coaching or some therapy could be very effective in creating a new way of showing up to certain situations where you're not deflecting or dismissing or gaslighting. And taking responsibility is a really powerful way to start. Yes, I am doing this. I don't want to be doing this, so I'm going to do the work so that I can change and I can, you know, create a new way of showing up in conversations. If it's in others, you know, if you see this in your spouse or your mom or a sister or your boss or whoever it may be, especially if you see it in your spouse in a mixed faith marriage, this is what I would suggest. Bring it to their attention. If somebody is behaving this way towards you, whether it's dismissively or deflecting or gaslighting, sometimes they don't know. Their intentions aren't to hurt you. Their intentions aren't to do this. Sometimes they don't realize what they're doing. Sometimes they don't realize the impact of what they're doing. I think it can be a very good idea to bring it to their attention, to call out that behavior. And if they're not aware of it, they can start to be more mindful of that. They can start to maybe connect some dots. Maybe they're getting feedback in different areas of their life and they can start to consider making some changes themselves if that's something they want to do. But when you bring it to their attention, this isn't a mandate or an ultimatum. This is just like, hey, this is something I'm seeing. It's feedback. It's communicating what's going on and what your experience is in the relationship. I think it's a really great example of clear and direct communication, which is a great skill to develop in yourself. So if you think you're experiencing this, something to consider is to bring it to their attention. Another thing is to tell them how you feel. You know, let them know what your experience is on the receiving end of this. Again, I'm always cautious here. This doesn't mean they're now responsible for you and for fixing how you're feeling. But a lot of times in a relationship, in a marriage, it's really important. Like this is part of communicating, is letting the other person know how you're feeling, letting the other person know what like you're making their behaviors mean and what you're feeling because of that. And just letting them know how that's playing out for you. You know, when you don't respond to my texts, it makes me feel like I'm not important to you. When you don't tell me about how church was, it makes me feel isolated. When you don't talk to me about, you know, where you are on your faith journey, it makes me feel left out or isolated from your inner happenings. These are all great conversations to be happening. Again, not invitations to now fix how I'm feeling, but invitations to explore and understand and get to know each other's experiences. Another thing to practice is assert yourself. Like stand up for what you need, communicate for what you need and what is working and not working for you in this relationship. Be clear, be direct, you know, make requests. Be clear about what's okay and not okay for you in this relationship. A lot of times we don't do this. We're too afraid, or we've been socialized to be differential or to avoid confrontation. And a lot of times that just creates problems never being addressed and problems not ever getting to the solution seeking part of the problem solving. We don't ever get to problem solving. We just stay in avoiding confrontation. And then finally, set boundaries. You know, if there really is behavior that is harming you, that is not healthy for you to be around, can you decline to engage in conversations or to spend time or whatever that boundary may look like? But remember, a boundary is about what you will do, not about what they will do. It's about you taking care of yourself and what kind of situations you put yourself in and what time of conversations you put yourself in, not about them limiting their behavior, their words. It's about you controlling the environments you put yourself in. The other things I want to talk about, like this is more specific for deflection. There's a lot of deflection going on. Stay on topic. You know, they will bring up their own hurt or their own grievances to deflect from yours. And I might say something like, that's important. I definitely want to talk about that. But right now we're talking about this. Like staying on topic is the number one skill to develop if deflection is happening a lot. Like, I see what you're saying and that is important and I want to talk about that, but today we're talking about this. If gaslighting is happening a lot in your relationship or it's something that you want to work on, a lot of really helpful work around gaslighting is owning your own thoughts and feelings as real and valid, is doing some work to believe yourself that, you know, your spouse may have a different perception of this. It may even be opposite of what you're thinking, but what you're thinking and what you're feeling really matters and is true and valid. And really developing some sturdiness in believing yourself can be really great work on gaslighting. And all of the other things that we've already said here, but that's just more specific to gaslighting. If you find like this is like something you're seeing in your relationship, any of these three things, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. These things happen, right? These aren't terrible, horrible things. They happen in relationships. It's good to be aware and look at them and be honest with yourself that they're happening and then decide what you want to do about that. Do you need to do some internal work? Do you need to have some conversation with your spouse? Like, what's the best approach for you? How do you want to work through these things and talk about these things? It's going to be different for everybody. There's not a perfect answer. I hope some of the suggestions I offered here are helpful for you, but I want you to know that doing the work on these things is, I would say, exquisitely kind and a very generous form of self-care. And that the more we ignore them and we pretend they're not happening, like eventually we'll have to pay the price for that. Eventually that won't be ignorable. Eventually that won't be avoidable. And I realize that we have times and seasons where we have more bandwidth and less bandwidth. I totally get that. This isn't something you have to address today or even this week or this month. Like, do it when you can, but no, unaddressed things don't often solve themselves. Okay, if you're looking for more help, as always, I have a course for mixed faith marriages. You should go and check it out. It might be a really great fit for you. I have limited one-on-one slots. And if you want that, you can go ahead and get on a free consult or maybe get on my waiting list and see if that's a good fit for you. But get the help you need. Relationships are important, but a lot of times the work we do on relationships is also so profound in just our own self-development and profound in our own sense of developing ourselves, which really impacts a lot of areas of our lives, not just our intimate relationships. And it's such a powerful investment to make, not only in your relationship, but in yourself, is what I'm trying to say here. So if you want to make that investment, let me see if I can help you. All right. Wishing you the best in your mixed faith marriage.